What we're going to do is look at the workings of our mind, understand ourselves, and then see what could I do so that this situation stopped being so provocative to me, or this situation stopped being so, you know, anxiety-inducing. Like, what could I do? And one of the analogies that we often find in the scriptures and so forth is of our mind like a jungle with many pathways through it. And some of those pathways, unfortunately, some very well-trodden pathways, take us to places that really we don't want to keep going to. You know, there are pathways of thought. We're thinking about the mind. So that, you know, thoughts we have about ourselves, or thoughts we have about other people, or thoughts we have about our job, or there's ways of thinking that, you know, we know, like we get on a train of thought and we sort of know where it's taking us. And we think, I don't wanna go there again. And yet it's almost got this sort of gravitational pull. It's just like we're heading down a well-trodden path. And maybe we notice that. We're self-aware enough to see there are thought patterns in my mind, pathways in my mind that are really doing me no good at all. Like the kind of place I'd like to be internally, the sort of the space I'd like to be in. Maybe we get a sense of what it is, but there isn't yet a good, clear pathway to it in our mind. And so then to forge that pathway, we're going to need to get our meditation machetes out and hack a path, cut a path, make a path through the undergrowth of the jungle of our mind, and then keep taking that path and hopefully keep neglecting, avoiding that old familiar bad habit path. And then in time, the situation will transform. The new path taking us to this beautiful space, this beautiful state of being, becomes as easy to traverse as the old path was. And the old path just disappears into the undergrowth like it wasn't there. Now, I'm talking a little bit theoretically, but to sort of give an example, maybe, you know, for example, maybe we're easily offended, or we're quick to anger. Someone says something, we take it very personally, and it's very painful. And we can, you know, maybe they didn't even mean it, or certainly not in the way that we took it. And they might have forgotten all about it. And it can sort of sit with us like we're rubbing salt into a wound for hours, days, weeks, months, years, decades. Like, we can hold on to things that someone else said and did. They've completely forgotten. And in fact, they probably didn't even mean it the way we meant it, we took it. And even if they did, they've dropped it. But we're holding on. That mind that does that is clearly a bad habit. And maybe initially when we hear this kind of idea, we think, well, of course I feel hurt. I mean, look what they said. Look what they said. But there are ways of thinking that we can train our mind to have where we understand that, you know, where are these unkind words coming from? Like, is that the behavior of someone who is at peace with themselves? Like, are those words arising from a happy, contented heart? No, of course not. Someone who is at peace with themselves doesn't behave like that. That's what we're witnessing is an expression of, a manifestation of someone's inner pain. Like, it really isn't actually about us at all. If they're spitting venom in our direction, that's from an inner pain that they're having. And this is someone who is in pain. And the fact that they're pushing it out like that indicates that they don't know how to solve that problem, because it's an inner problem and they're actually doing things that are making it worse. Anyway, maybe I'm laboring the point. But what I'm saying is that there's a pathway of thinking where we realize this is just someone suffering. This is just someone suffering, like we all suffer, like everybody suffers. This is someone who is trapped in a moment they don't want to be in. They're feeling feelings that they can't process and are painful to them, and they're lashing out, and it's not about me. We don't need to take it personally. We can have this sort of kind of deeper experience of solidarity where we realize, okay, you're in pain. That thought process, maybe initially, maybe you're listening to it, oh, I don't know about that. They really did mean it, and they really are horrible, and they are awful. With some effort, we will find our way there. You know, at least in the abstract, in the safety of our meditation space, we're sitting, breathing, considering, yes, of course, this is an expression of their pain. I get it. And our feelings will change towards them. And maybe we can't continue to hold on to that the next time we see them, we remember, or they say something again, and we, that thought, it's not strong enough yet. Like the other thoughts, oh, I hate you, yeah. Those are stronger. Sure. You know, it's a little bit like a dimmer switch of familiarity, isn't it? It's like what our mind will do, whatever it's most used to doing. And so if we train, if we consciously decide, I want to have these kinds of thought patterns, I want to think in these ways, and we train our mind, that's what we do with the meditation. Get the mind calm, wonderful, and then cultivate a particular way of thinking, feeling, relating that we want to have, and then get more and more used to it, sit with it, so that eventually it becomes completely natural. So that then eventually there'll come a day where someone, you know, barks at us, and genuinely the thought, the feeling that arises is compassion. We don't take it personally. We're not hurt. We're not ourselves going to lash out and create a, you know, self-perpetuating cycle of misery. We're calm and we're kind. And maybe because we're in that space, maybe something we say can help them get out of the space that they're in. You know, we're absolutely protecting ourselves, but maybe we're also developing the power to help free someone else from a cycle that they're in. This is such a wonderful, wonderful thing.